96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, C-File, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Island Pay, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. Today we're going to talk current affairs. We will. And in the second hour for a bit, we're going to be talking about a partnership or an effort between BAF, Cash and Go, and the Family Medicine Center about a diabetes awareness and information program that's free that's going to be conducted here shortly. I somehow missed that the Bahamas has the highest prevalence of diabetes in the world per capita. I did not know that. That's what they were telling me when they were telling me about the program. I was not aware of that. That is frightening. I've had several family members die from the effects of diabetes long term, and it's not something that you want to go through, although we all must die. I want to go like in my sleep, you know what I mean? Like I'm like 80 is in my head and I just don't wake up, you know? And they're like, look at him. He looks so peacefully. Just went in his sleep. And this will keep dreaming. All right, we got a couple of things to talk about. Now, I want to start this off by saying you're going to have to get yourself out of your feelings when I'm talking about these political parties. Like, I know you love them. I know Minnis is your high school crush and Brave Davis is your boyfriend. I understand, right? That you want to take up for him because they have a special place in your heart. But as long as these people are being paid with our tax dollars, my VAT money, you're going to have to learn that there's going to be criticism. If it's unfair, fair enough, you get to state your case. But to just try to run out and crush the messenger because you think that's an effective strategy, then we're going to always, always, always have an issue, all right? Because, and the PLP and the FNM are on the level of you will be personally attacked if you say anything or disclose anything about a political party or the political administration. The FNM and the PLP are no different. And some people will also want to fight me on that. They're no different, right? Politics is a noble profession. Within it are some of the most selfless, dedicated people you will ever meet in your life. And coexisting along with that are the scum of the earth who will lie to you, lie about you, make up stuff about you, say any vile, disgusting, nonsensical thing about you personally, laugh at your misery, wish for your downfall. Both the PLP and the FNM are chock full of them. And also chock full of good people too. And that's life, isn't it? Right? There's light and dark in all things. And you need to try to embrace the light, although you got plenty of people who embrace the darkness. So they both do it. And I'm not tripping. But you're going to have to get over yourself. Like, so for instance, I see every time Candia tries to write objectively about something, you morons, And you can label yourself, because you know who I'm talking to, because you're talking about it online. You're morons. Start talking about who's on the F&M payroll or who's on the PLP payroll, right? It's so stupid. And it's so sad that people entrust you guys with defending the integrity of their party. You should not speak. This is why y'all are online and not actually on the front line of anything, because you're a disgrace, right? And they deal with you. They deal with the darkness, right? Bradley Roberts used to talk to me about this briefly. You're going to need some of these people, right? As vile as they are, they're going to generate excitement in a certain constituency and display followership, and you're just going to have to roll with it. I think that we could seek to have less ridiculous, vitriolic, partisan nonsense and just call it for what it is, that this is our government money, this is our future we're dealing with. And while I expect politicians to inject politics into national affairs, I also expect us to look at things with sense, all right? So y'all do it to Candia. She doesn't care. I might as well brief you as much as you're talking about. I care more than she does, because I'm just like, it's false, right? And y'all get up here, right? And y'all can't even get through Peter and Jane without using your index finger to trace along, without sounding out, you know what I mean? CJ, run. It's an R, right? Y'all can't read a Peter and Jane book. Y'all can't spell three words in a row correctly. But yet, people with vast experience in education who've been to some of the best schools, y'all just feel comfortable denigrating because you just have their name in your mouth. And I guess you can't help it, but as long as I'm around, I'm going to check it, right? And we'll just get in arguments, that's all. And I'm going to call you what you are, right? Which is morons. Anyway, don't take getting your feelings when I say this, okay? There is no excuse for anyone in the House of Assembly, in the Senate, or in any other position that is bound to disclose their financial situation by the Public Disclosure Act to not know that that is what is required of them. None. Now, oh, I didn't know. Nah, dude. No. When you go in the House of Assembly, you guys have parliamentary caucuses. They explain to you what you need to do. They explain to you all the procedures and all this stuff. Y'all just pick up the stuff that really don't matter real quick, right? Like banging on the table and all this and points of order and getting up and, you know, all that y'all pick up on fast. But the actual law, everyone would act fuzzy about. There's no excuse. None. None of you have any excuse. You know you're supposed to disclose. You know you had to disclose to nominate. There's no excuse in this. You've seen this often enough, all right? So there's a story today. Candia Daines wrote a National Review about it. That's why I started off on that. Some of what goes on in these political parties is so vile, so disgusting, from grown men and women who have children and grandchildren. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Of course, I only deal with Bahamian politics. I'm sure there are other places where it may be worse. But people who swear up and down that Jesus is their savior and are nothing but the vilest creatures of the dark in all your WhatsApp groups and Facebook pages and all this stuff like that, know that I hold you in contempt. All right? And whatever scorn you may have for us in the media who are holding your politicians accountable, I wear it with pride. All right? So this story is also done by Travis Cartwright Carroll. The National Review is by Candia Daines. This story is done by Travis Cartwright Carroll. And you know, some people say that's rude of me. Oh, you're being rude. You should just take it all on the chin and all that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Because you feel I should do that? No. Right? I'm going to call you out for your nonsensical, bitter, petty, joking. And for what? For like a road cleaning contract? That's what y'all on? Anyway. Candia Daines of the National Review, Travis Cartwright did this story in The Guardian. And it's called Some MPs Not Aware They Had to File Disclosures. All right? Some just finding out about legal requirement. How is you just finding out about a legal requirement? Anyway. I read this stuff and I go, these people are running our country. Right? These people are running our country. Some first-time MPs were not aware, and all y'all got a job. Brave give all y'all a job. So I don't know how y'all could not bring yourself to be aware of this. some first-time MPs were not aware that there was a legal requirement for them to file financial disclosures under the Public Disclosure Act, Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper told the Nassau Guardian. How Victor Cooper get in charge of the public disclosure? I like Bishop Cooper, actually, very much. Yeah. All right, he's in charge of Public Disclosure Commission. No problem. I like Bishop Cooper, actually, very much so. The deadline for parliamentarians to file the disclosures was March 1st. The Act empowers the Commission to extend the time for the filing of declarations for a further period not exceeding 30 days. Cooper said, there are persons who are new members of Parliament who aren't aware, and so as a result of that, some persons are just finding out, and so they've been advised that they need to get their information in. And they've been advised to do that ASAP. It's just a matter of helping those, giving a simple grace period for those who haven't been through the process before. Is he allowed? He's not allowed to give anyone a grace period, is he? Like, the law's allowed to. The law gives 30 days. I'm fairly certain he's not allowed to do that. It says, asked about the fact that some filings have not yet happened despite an extension beyond the 30 days provided, Cooper said, I suspect that this has happened for some time, but having just come in, we've asked them to do that ASAP. I can't hate on Bishop Cooper. I can do it. I rate him. I like him. I just, but you know, you gotta enforce this thing, Bishop. All right. So the Public Disclosure Act provides for the Public Disclosure Commission to examine every declaration furnished to it by MPs, senators, and senior public officials and public appointees. It also requires that the Commission Gazette report so that members of the public are able to see who declared and who did not. The Commission has not published a report in 14 years. The most recently gazetted report is from December 2011, and it contained information on disclosures only up to 2008. So let me circle back to the beginning, right? And I probably should have said this up front. Even though this is a legal requirement, and I believe if you're the government, you have to follow the law, what is the point of the Public Disclosures Commission if nothing is ever bloody publicly disclosed for years on end? You can't even name me half the people who were in the House of Assembly in 2008, can you? Go ahead. Give me 10 from both sides. Well, that's probably easy if you've been paying attention. What's the point of the Public Disclosures Commission? So first of all, I'm going to believe it because it's what you say, but I'm skeptical, right? I believe some of you are overrating how much you're worth, and I believe some of you are underestimating how much you're worth or underreporting how much you're worth. But I'm going to believe it, all right, because it's what you say. But the point of the Public Disclosures Commission is not only so I can know what kind of assets you have, although that is important. I do want to understand if your net worth has increased dramatically while you were holding public office, what would account for that? Maybe you're like Brent Simonet and you're fabulously wealthy and your family's rich and you got stuff in a blind trust and it's just making money while you sleep. Maybe. Or maybe something untoward is going on. Now, the ability for you to actually fake out the system, there's a lot of that. Although we've now started to close in on it with the politically exposed persons XYZ, but there are ways around that, which aren't that complicated. But the reason you want to know about public disclosures is you want to understand the interest that politicians have in public affairs. So you want to know the relationships with public corporations. Do you have any contracts going on? Is there anything going on that we should know about that the public was unaware of that maybe didn't make it to Parliament or we missed it in Parliament? That is the purpose, including knowing your net worth, of what the Public Disclosures Act is for. At this point, it doesn't serve any real purpose that I can tell. However, it still is the law. If you just are going to say, we're not really going to comply with the law and we're going to be a decade or so behind where we should be, then just go back to Parliament and go, you know what? Sir Lyndon had a good idea with this, but it's just not effective, and we're going to look at something different. Nobody's going to touch campaign finance, which is unfortunate, but this serves no purpose. However, it still is the law, right? So I don't believe that I should really pay certain taxes, right? But it's the law. Yes? It is what it is. So if it's the law, then follow the law. The government, if anyone follows the law, it's got to be the lawmakers, right? If anyone can follow the law, it's got to be the lawmakers. Anyway, the commission hasn't published a report in 14 years. Cooper said he was appointed to the Public Disclosures Commission in January. He said some MPs and senators are filing now, and those who are new members of Parliament, we've written to them and reminded them of the necessity to do that. Cooper said, what happened is people asked for extensions, and so in some cases that's been granted. He could not say how many parliamentarians filed. He said he can't speak to that right now, but later he might be able to say. Persons have asked for extensions, and where they have, that's been granted. How much of an extension did you grant them? It says, we are still sending notifications to persons, particularly the new members, to have sent their information ASAP. Cooper said there are a number of persons who asked for extensions because they were involved in other things, trying to get their matters resolved, and we've granted that. They've asked for several weeks, for a month or so. Is this like however much they say they need, or is it like a set thing that you do? And to get their information in, and that request has been granted. Again, I am fairly certain he does not have the authority to do that. But I rate Bishop Cooper, because a lot of you lie. And so I want to make that clear. A lot of you are liars, not all of you, not even the vast majority of you. Some of you are liars, and you're going to say Bishop Cooper McCarthy's talking about you like dirt on his show. And that's not the case. Now, let me show you who's organized so you can see this, right? Because you got to be organized, right? Prime Minister Philip Davis' office confirmed yesterday that he filed his disclosures on time. So this man is running the country, and he can file his disclosures on time. But a lot of y'all whose job I'm not quite clear what it actually is, y'all can't do it. Y'all didn't know, right? You're really telling me that an organization as old as the PLP, as vast and as organized as the PLP, does not let its members of parliament know that they have to file disclosures on a yearly basis? That escaped everyone. Opposition leader Michael Pintard said he also met the deadline. Pintard said he thinks all members of the opposition have as well, though he could not be sure. Well, that's only seven of them. Minister of State in the office of the Prime Minister, Miles LaRota, who was also a former chairman of the Public Disclosure Commission, also confirmed that he filed on time. Now, if you remember, I was talking about Miles LaRota before when he was being appointed as a Minister of State, and I said, I'm hoping that Miles LaRota is more communicative as a Minister of State than he was as the Public Disclosure Commission chairman. And to be quite fair to Miles LaRota, he's done a much better job insofar as communication, insofar as what appears to be organization, as Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister, than I thought he did as the Public Disclosure Chairman. And, you know, that may be like a compliment sandwich, right? But with a little bit of shade in there. But I feel he's done a good job as Minister of State. And I didn't think, Miles LaRota, you know everything cool. I didn't think you were a good Public Disclosure Chairman. It just didn't seem like it was a priority for you. I do believe you operated within the ambit of the law, so I'm not sure what Mr. Cooper is doing. But what you're doing now, I could rock what you want. What you're doing now, Public Disclosure Chairman, not so much. There's no excuse for you not to have filed this thing. If you don't want to do it, if you think it's not necessary, you think it's a bad idea, go to Parliament, repeal it, explain why, and we'll go from there. There's nothing binding you to this. There's no constitutional requirement that you do this. At least try to act like you're serious. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
This Mother's Day, it's more than just brunch. It's the taste of Margaritaville. Join us this Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. for live music, unlimited mimosas, and a full buffet display, with all mothers getting a free rose from the Margaritaville restaurant. Brunch with us for $85 per person. Kids under 12 eat for just $25, and kids under 5 eat free. Complimentary garage parking, VAT, and grats included. Make your reservation today at 603-8400 or 698-0624.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Fidelity, we're good for you. We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
This Mother's Day, it's more than just brunch. It's the taste of Margaritaville. Join us this Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. for live music, unlimited mimosas, and a full buffet display, with all mothers getting a free rose from the Margaritaville restaurant. Brunch with us for $85 per person. Kids under 12 eat for just $25, and kids under 5 eat free. Complimentary garage parking, VAT, and grats included. Make your reservation today at 603-8400 or 698-0624.
It's back. One of the biggest regattas on the sailing calendar. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th. The biggest economic boost for Long Island is back with more than 40 sloops competing in the A, B, C, and D classes, along with the Long Island Youth Regatta and the Man in the Boat Sculling Races. Don't miss this major cultural experience June 1st to 4th. The 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond. All of the fastest sloops will be there. Artisans displaying their handmade crafts, jewelry, and straw work. Great food, including the world-famous native mutton dishes. And endless memories all await you at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond.
Long Island breeze, your sheep are bleating.
Guardian Media will be broadcasting live at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta. with live updates of the sailing results and activities every day. If you'd like to be a sponsor, just contact your account executive or call the Nassau Guardian at 302-2300. That's 302-2300. Yes, it's back. One of the biggest regattas on the sailing calendar. It's the 53rd Annual Long Island Regatta in beautiful South Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th.
Yeah.
Morning blend business.
The economy.
Finance.
Business.
Industry.
Government sector.
Private sector.
Financial services.
Tourism.
Personal finance.
Investing advice.
Consumer issues. Consumer rights.
Trends and business opportunities.
Morning blend business. Following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. It's so good to have you with us. Now, we were talking about the Public Disclosures Commission and the overall lack of any sort of urgency. For a decade now, no matter the administration, in actually providing these public disclosures. Now, I know what you're going to say, some of you, well, you know, that's what you guys are for. You're the fourth estate. You're to hold the government accountable. Absolutely, no doubt, and that's what we're doing. But at the same time, the position has become that they will file when they want to file, what they want to file, at their own leisure. And even if they file, you will not get them to gazette it or actually make it available to the public. And it's really nonsensical. And so I wonder why the laws don't seem to align, right? So if I'm going to go to the insurance company, what is it, the Financial Transactions Reporting Act? If I'm going to go to my insurance company, and I got to do KYC and talk about am I politically exposed or not. If I got to go to the bank and explain if I'm politically exposed or not. And that's just something they do in order to monitor your accounts more closely, right? What's the purpose of monitoring my accounts if there's nothing to benchmark that against? So what are you going to do? If I'm a politically exposed person and I open a bank account and suddenly hundreds of thousands of dollars start going into my bank account. And you call me, and because I'm trying to figure out what the mechanism is. And you call me, and you go, well, we see money coming to your bank. Yeah, my brother and I have a business. That's coming from my brother's business. Here's his business license, XYZ, da-da-da-da. End of story, right? So if you can't benchmark it against your actual income that you're publicly disclosing, if you can't benchmark it against the fact that you disclosed that you didn't have any other contracts with any government or anything related to government, then what's the point? I don't get it. Are we doing it for fun? Are we doing it for outside agencies, but not really for the Bahamas to monitor? I don't get it. Why even go through that and make all the private businesses accountable for checking that? But the government itself, which is an entire commission, and I know it's not a full-time gig, but there's an entire commission for it, and they're not doing anything. But yet you put this requirement on businesses, financial institutions, but you yourself, who drafted this law, who put this on them, will not do your own work that you're required to do by law. But yet you want the central bank and the Securities Commission, everybody, to come bring the hammer down when the financial institutions aren't doing it. Yet you won't do what you want to do. And that's a lot of the reason that there's a lot of slackness around here, is because people realize that, you know what? There is no accountability. And if I don't do my job, and if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, chances are they'll let me ride, right? And I'll just shield you and cover you up. See, I couldn't be in politics, right? Because I ain't trying to shield you, man. You're going to be sacrificed to the wolves before I look crazy if you ain't did your job. Whenever anybody comes to work here, right, I tell them, look, I'm not going to sweat you. I'll work with you. I'm not crazy. I'm not going to treat you like a child. I'm not going to treat you like some overlord or whatever like that. But you got to do your job. The only times you're going to have problems with me, if I'm your supervisor, if I'm your boss, is if you don't do your job. Other than that, if you ain't acting crazy, we're not going to have any problems. But in government, you ain't really got to do your job. That's the message that people get. So I don't get it. I don't get why you expect everybody else to be like, yes, let's comply with the law. Let's do it. When you yourself won't do it, you're setting the example for people to go, these fellas ain't checking. The PLP nor F&M cares about it. Clearly. We'll do a couple of messages. I want to talk about the Disaster Reconstruction Authority as well. And I also want to, we're going to speak with the people from BAFN, Family Medicine Center. Juan, please tell me how these new MPs didn't know that they have to disclose, while shocking at the same time disappointing because they applied for a job. I don't believe that a single one of them wasn't aware that they had to file a public disclosure. I don't buy that. I don't buy that a single member of parliament or senator was unaware that public disclosures have to be filed by parliamentarians. I refuse to believe that. Hi, Juan. Say happy birthday to Aaron. Nothing's ever going to change. Like I always say, it's the same movie, just different actors. Oh, it's Aaron's birthday? Aaron Green? Oh, happy birthday, Aaron. Hope you're doing well. I don't think Aaron drinks alcohol. But have fun anyway. I'm going to join this world at one point where there's no alcohol involved. Right? Where there's complete sobriety and still there's entertainment and enjoyment. I'm going to join you one day. Not this day, but have a great day, Aaron. Aaron's awesome. All right. Happy birthday. Juan, this is Adrian. Let's not. I saw something that Adrian is my boy. So I'm going to leave that alone. Okay? I saw what Adrian put on Facebook, and I'm just going to leave it alone. All right? He said that, you know, it was unfortunate, and it didn't live up to the standard that he wants to set, and I accept that. All right? Says, Juan, what are you talking about, buddy? This new government basically stopped the e-procurement. Nothing surprises me with anything from them. That's why at 55, I've never voted. It's simple, dumb. Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right, we got to go to a break. We're going to break, and we'll be right back. You guys out there who aren't on a strict kind of like diet, lifestyle diet or whatever, I went outside to my car a moment ago. Like, you could smell the KFC in the air. That can't be legal. They can just sell that to people without, like, a license. Just every day. You could taste it. Like, you know, you could taste it in your nose. You could taste the food. You could taste the taste the fried. It's amazing. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora I look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
We'll be right back.
gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. It's so good to have you with us. We are discussing the Public Disclosures Commission. I want to also talk about the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. I was told we were going to have someone on today to discuss the diabetes program. But if not today, we'll do it Friday. We can do it Friday, no problem. If they don't make it today. But I'm happy to talk to them about it. We'll get to the DRA, but my point is, I don't understand what we're doing with the Public Disclosure Commission if we're just treating it like it's just another thing. Yeah, I don't understand. All right. We got a phone call? Let's do a phone call. And we'll do your text messages as well. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good day, Vaughn.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man. This phone of mine just decided to make noise when you answered it. Sorry for that.
Say what? Oh, call the next line. That line's funny. The 325-4259, is that what that is? It's a little, it's got a problem. Water. Let's go to the next call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Warren, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How's it going?
Boy, I don't tell much men I love them. You and Dwight, them do an excellent job. The four of the state. See, this position be people dumb and stupid. That pastor, Mr. Cooper, he should resign ASAP. See, the Lord of Land saying $10,000 for 2 years imprisonment. If you don't disclose. What if I had the person, he ain't been a university, no, because I know these things. See, gone out of there. See, nothing has changed in this country until we got to get rid of this most school people. They got this country messed with up. And the family friends love us, we can deal with all of them. You see, because the 1970s should be, you guys, you and Dwight and the young people, then, it's your country. My children and my grandchildren can't afford to buy land and island of the province, and they're all about doing foolishness. Uncle built a hospital in City 2000. Nobody living from Woodford, North, you know. Everybody in Southeast or South West Bahamas. We pay the land, holding that back. Make sure no foreigners come in the island. We're probably going to buy all this land because they got money. You're knocking us out of the market, and sometimes your boys get mad at me, Lang get mad at me. Yes, I know that we need no money. That's his opinion. But he's wrong. I am wrong. I feel it. I feel it in my pain. I see what's wrong. The water was, he know exactly what he's doing. Fred Mitchell just go, anyway, hold on. Mr. Fred Mitchell just go on a morning for statement from the chairman of the Greta Liberal Party. Tell your member of the parliament, get this right, or don't pay them the money one. We be playing with the people want. We need to, okay, y'all keep doing a good job, man. Thanks, man. Thank my God.
No problem. Here's why I think Lang gets concerned or distressed since you say when you say something like that. You say my grandchildren won't be able to afford land on New Providence, all right? And I can't tell the future, but the way things are going, that's probably true, right? It's difficult for me to afford land on New Providence. I have several jobs, right? Here's where I think Lang gets frustrated with you. I think he gets frustrated when you say the foreigners came and bought up all the land, and that's what's causing us to not be able to afford the land. And Lang explains it, and I don't need Lang to tell me, but I can also explain it. The fact of the matter is, the foreigners owned the land before anyway, right? The foreigners and the crown. The crown still owns a lot. The foreigners still own a lot, all right? Bahamians are selling land to foreigners. Not in large part the government, but Bahamian citizens who own land. They don't care where you're from. They want to sell the land. All right? So let's say we put a stop to that today. In fact, let's say we put a stop to that today and that we seize all the land owned by foreigners on New Providence. And then let's say we put a market cap on what you pay for the land at $10,000 per acre. All right? So all the land that was the foreigners owned, you've taken back and the government has it, and the government puts it all on the open market as well as all the crown land. And an acre of land on New Providence easily would go for $200,000. Right? You don't need a whole acre, but let's say an acre of land on New Providence. Now they've offered it all to everybody, is $10,000, right? And that happens today. If you took back all the land, if you offered up all the existing land that you seize from foreigners and that the government owns at $10,000 an acre, it's going to be gone in less than a year. And your grandchildren still won't be able to afford land on New Providence. There's nothing that's going to change that at the rate we're going, even if you take these extraordinary measures that I just explained. And I think that's why Lang gets frustrated, because you've boxed yourself into thinking along those lines. Now, what we could talk about, because I'm not talking about my grandchildren, I don't know that my children will be able to afford land on New Providence. All right? It's a struggle for me, as I outlined to you. And there's only going to be less. They're not growing any more of it, right? There's only going to be less land available as we get older. So my mind finds it unnecessary to occupy myself thinking about how we need to deal with the foreigners owning land on New Providence and how my grandchildren are going to own land on New Providence. Your grandchildren aren't going to own land on New Providence. However, I got good news for you. The Bahamas is not New Providence. And so what we need to start thinking about, in my estimation, is how to expand our economy throughout the Family Islands, where there's much more land available, and we could do it in a structured way that makes sense. But if you're holding out hope that your grandchildren are going to be able to own land on New Providence, when the population has grown exponentially, even if all the land was seized from every foreigner who owns it, and all the crown land was put on the market for a price that just about any working person could afford, then you're holding out hope on a fool's errand, right? It's just not going to happen. So I want to understand what's going on in Grand Bahama, that maybe my children could expand their holdings into that island. I want to understand what's going on Eleuthera, where my family's from, my ancestry's from, so that maybe I could move there and my children could live on my property, or my children could live there. We could expand and have business opportunities there. Because if everybody just wants to stay on New Providence forever and figure that it's going to get more affordable to live with more people and a finite amount of space, then I don't understand what we're even talking about, and I don't want to waste too much time on it. All right? So that's what I'm saying. Your grandchildren are not going to be able to afford land on New Providence, right? I'm trying to get rich. Maybe my children will be able to, and we'll see. But I don't know that that's a viable line of thought to occupy ourselves with. The foreigners own the land or whatever like that. I'm a Bahamian. Brother, if I got some land to sell and a Bahamian wants to buy it for, let's say, $100,000 for an acre, and a foreigner comes and says he'll pay me $500,000 an acre, guess who I'm going to sell it to? So I hear you, but I don't know that we're properly applying our thinking caps to this issue. And that's just me. We're going to take a break. We do have a Family Medicine Center here, so we're going to talk about the diabetes program. And then I'll get back to your text messages. And JJ raises a good issue. Not that I agree with him, but in that, are we thinking about this correctly? That we're actually going to somehow turn this around and land on New Providence, which is only a particular area of square miles that is not getting any bigger. The only option you have on New Providence is to go up. You can start, like, trying to live on the water, houseboats, etc., all this, like, those are options. But no one's holding out land for your grandchildren if we're blocking foreigners from owning it. It's just not going to happen. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important.
So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. As promised, we do have the Family Medicine Center here. And the Family Medicine Center is partnering with BAF and Cash and Go to present a five-part course in learning to live well with diabetes. It's called Five to Thrive. And Nurse Anita Cates from the Family Medicine Center is here to talk to us about it. It begins next week, and it runs for several weeks, and it is free to join. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like I should have known this, but when you emailed me and told me about this and you said that, you know, the Bahamas, as you may be aware, the Bahamas has the highest prevalence of diabetes in the world, and I was not aware of that.
Yeah,
it's not
something to be proud of, is it? We can be proud of our athletics. Right. We can be proud of everything else. Yeah, I'm shocked by that too. And the numbers are rising. We're looking at about a third of the population, according to the IDF, the International Diabetes Federation.
Wow.
And those are honestly guesstimates. I think it's much worse. than that. So I am here to say, yes, it's a problem. But I'm here to say that you can actually thrive and live really, really well with diabetes. Mm. It's just when we stick our head in the sand and try and ignore it, that's when the problems occur.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. So how did you get involved with this type of work? Just through your nursing, or did you find that there was just a great need in a certain area?
Oh, it's a great question. I mean, nobody goes into diabetes going, yay, diabetes.
Right, jackpot, right. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I kind of fell into it and then fell in love with it because I was working at the clinic and I was noticing that more and more people were coming in with diabetes, pre-diabetes, and this was over 20 years ago. So this was pre-internet, right? People didn't have that much information. And it was all hearsay too, which didn't make any sense at all.
Right.
You know, I remember one gentleman sharing with me, oh, I drink cane sugar every day. I drink cane juice every day and it's great for my diabetes. Okay, we have a problem here. So now we're in a different era. We're in the information overload. And it's so hard to understand what to do, what's right, what's wrong. So everybody gets really, really confused. And that's why we have brought out this course. ACE Diabetes is our charity, which makes it free.
Mm-hmm.
And we've broken it down into five classes. So it's once a week, over 5 weeks, where you are going to get the information that you need, all the basics, and nothing that's going to be confusing to help you manage your diabetes. So not only can you live for a long life, but you can thrive and really enjoy your life too.
Excellent. Well, I want to talk about the course in a moment, but I'm just trying to get a better understanding for myself and for our listeners.
Yeah.
There are two types of diabetes that I'm told. Which one are we talking about? Are we talking about all of it?
Oh, right. Yes. So it's type 1. Type 2.
Uh-huh.
There's also a few more that can take a whole session.
Oh, okay.
And we also have pre-diabetes. So type 1 is where it's an autoimmune condition and the body starts to attack the pancreas and no insulin is made.
Mm.
And you see this usually in kids, teenagers, they become very sick and then they have to go on insulin.
Mm.
Type 2 is different in the fact that the body can't use insulin. The body's still making it, but it can't use it. It becomes resistant to it. So that's where we give medication. So it's similar, but it's different. It's a different mechanism. Pre-diabetes is when the blood sugar is just slightly elevated. It's not enough to call it diabetes, but you have the option to reverse it at that point.
Okay.
So yeah, you're quite right. There are there are three main ones, type 1, type 2, and pre-diabetes.
Okay. So we're covering the gamut with the course, or what are we looking at?
You know, we are covering the gamut. That's so true. We've had some signups, which has been amazing. And I do want to say that we only have a few places left. So, and we do have a list for people with type 1 diabetes, and they know exactly who they are. People with type 2 diabetes as well. And also with those who've been told that they have a little bit of sugar, pre-diabetes.
Right.
So the course schedule is actually on the website. So you can go to acediabetes.org/thrive. Mm-hmm. And the course schedule gives you an idea of what topics we're going to cover.
Right.
And honestly, that's for everybody.
So what I want to ask is, a lot of people don't know they have a problem with their blood sugar until they go to the doctor. And for a lot of people, they don't go to the doctor. Women will go to the doctor more frequently, but a lot of people won't go to the doctor until they have an actual issue. What are some of the things that you can look for that may indicate that you might have an issue?
Oh, great question. So, like you said, in the early stages, really, there's no symptoms. And the only way to find out is to go to your doctor, have a fasting blood sample taken, and then the doctor can then make a decision on where your glucose level is.
Okay.
But if your blood sugars start to get really, really high, you will get symptoms.
Okay.
So you are going to be getting blurred vision. You may start drinking lots and lots of water. You may actually also, and I've seen in patients, start to really desire like huge amounts of Coke and Fanta and these really sugary drinks. Mm-hmm. So that could be a sign as well. Obviously, if you're drinking, mm-hmm. you're going to go to the bathroom a lot. Right. So as my dear friend said to me, Anita, I was peeing like a racehorse. So, yeah, so that increase in urination. Often with weight loss too, if you have a dramatic loss in weight and you're noticing that your muscles have shrunk, this can be a sign too. Mm. But I do want to point out one that a lot of people just don't know. And right. this is the end stage, you know? So the importance is to get checked by your physician.
Mm-hmm. I've also, and we're going to talk about the course, but I've also, I discovered a couple of years ago when someone cried out for help that they that needed a particular monitor for their blood sugar, that there's quite a list of people who need kidney transplants in the Bahamas. I didn't realize that was an issue that was so prevalent.
Yeah, it's honestly, it really is heartbreaking. Mm. And those numbers are getting bigger and the ages are getting lower.
Right.
You know, there are people in their 30s who are on the transplant list and who are having to go in for dialysis. The great news is that you don't have to get there. Mm-hmm. Kidney failure in this type of way with diabetes does not happen overnight. It creeps up. Mm-hmm. So it is important to keep the glucose levels under control and stay in contact with your physician and learn everything you can about managing diabetes for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the course, it's free, which you'll get everybody's attention that way. How do you participate? Is it Zoom? Is it in person? Is it like over the computer?
Yeah, so actually, and another thing, I know we can entice people too with food.
There you go.
And actually, on the we have a third session which covers, we're going to have food available where I'm going to be able to teach you how to balance your plate so you can eat well and still enjoy your food. Mm. However, the first two classes are on Zoom.
Okay.
We know Zoom works really well because you can sit and you can watch in your pajamas. You can still participate. You know, it's great. So Zoom is an incredible tool. So the first two sessions, Zoom. The next three are in person.
Okay.
It's really important that we have that connection with one another and we're building that community. And there's some practical things we really can't do on Zoom. So everything we can do on Zoom, we will. But if it's practical, it's in person.
Right. All right, so you can go to acediabetes.org/thrive, and you can register for the courses. You got to do it by May 6th, and there's a questionnaire that's involved. This says you're going to have seven areas of care: healthy coping, healthy eating, being active, taking medication, monitoring, problem solving, and reducing risks. I was telling you before we came on the air that I've had several family members on my mother's side of my family die from diabetes, and it really didn't hit them till they were older, but it hits you hard and fast sometimes, and it's really difficult to navigate your way through it. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. You often need full-time caregivers, so it's very, very difficult to deal with, but I was unaware that we had this level of diabetes. How do we prevent? Well, you say there's the condition where you're actually born with it. How do we actually, though, prevent ourselves if we find ourselves in that pre-diabetes mode? How do we get there? And then how do we reverse that?
Oh, that's such a great question. Oh, we could be here all day.
Right.
So, but the simple answer to this is, number one, easiest thing we can all do, and I don't want to hit people where it hurts, but cut down on the sugary drinks.
Absolutely.
That's the first thing that you can do. Yeah. Increase your water intake. Stop the sugary drinks.
Right, yeah.
Even one of our local famous drinks that everybody loves is not going to be good for you. It's going to shoot that blood sugar through the roof. So that's your first thing. The other thing is pulling back on your carbohydrates. Mm. So that would be, again, you know, your rice, your these types of things, pulling back a little bit and trying as best you can to eat produce that produce, you know, things that are not packaged where possible. However, I do want to point out that it is totally possible to still prevent diabetes and eat well, even on a budget. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about eating better, cutting down on the drinks, and exercise, because we want to burn off that sugar.
Right.
And in doing so, you can lose about 5 to 10% of your body weight, which makes, again, a huge difference.
Right.
So you can, it is preventable, absolutely preventable.
Excellent. Well, I think this is very necessary, considering the extent of the problem. Again, you're going to go through to acediabetes.org /thrive, and they're going to tell you what's happening. It's every Monday. It's an hour a week, May 9th through June 6th, and it's really something that BAF and the Family Medicine Center, they're spearheaded, really just trying to help people tackle this problem. And I get where you're coming from, because if you can help people do better with something, you should absolutely do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are delighted through ACE Diabetes to be able to partner with BAF and Cash and Go, because it's these types of community collaborations that make a huge difference. This is a condition that is preventable. We can thrive with it, but it affects the families. It also affects the finances of the family, too, and it doesn't have to. So we're so thankful that we can team up with BAF and Cash and Go to be able to do this. And it's going to be fun. I forgot to tell you this. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to learn so much, too. And like I said, it's going to be down to earth, cut and dried, what's going to take you to where you need to go without the fluff.
Excellent. All right. Well, this is a text here says, shout out to the best diabetes specialist in the Bahamas. I implore everyone that's battling diabetes to check out Nurse Kate's. Signed, your number one patient, Kishna.
Oh!
So there's a shout out for you.
Woo, thank you. I've got groupies now. Look
there
at
you
that.
Go. Yeah, you got fans. You didn't even know it. Precisely. All right, so you can also call 702-9310 for more information. As Nurse Kate said, the first...
Oh, and can I just say,
sure.
We're on Facebook, so that's excellent. A really easy way.
There you
way
go. That's
to
how you get
us.
A lot of Bahamians.
You can send me a message on Facebook. I'll be hanging out there in Messenger if you have any questions, thoughts. I'll be right there. So if that's easier for most people, to go on Facebook. Not quite Instagramming it yet. Kind of, sort of, maybe.
Right. Let me ask you this, and you know, if you don't feel as though you got a concrete answer, keto diet. A lot of people told me it works well for people with diabetes.
It does, actually. Yeah.
Low carb,
now,
high fat.
We're talking low carb, high fat. It doesn't always have to be keto. Mm. So keto is when you produce ketones in the urine because of burning fat.
Mm.
In some diabetics, this is not a good idea.
Okay.
However, we see reversal in diabetes with a low carb, high fat diet. It has a massive impact. I mean, people stop medication on this diet.
Well.
But it is not a cure-all, because once you stop the diet, the blood sugar goes back up because you're eating carbohydrates again, so you have to go on the medication.
Right.
So it's a lifestyle. The keto lifestyle is it does work well.
Excellent. All right. Well, Nurse Kate, thank you so much for coming to speak with us. It's been an education just sitting here talking to you briefly. You're trying to help people live well with diabetes and to avoid diabetes as best they can. And they're doing that in partnership with BAF and Cash and Go. And it's going to be conducted starting next week. So you want to go and sign up right now. Go on Facebook, check out ACE Diabetes. You can go to acediabetes.org/thrive. You can sign up there. You can call 702-9310 for more information. And I thank you for coming through and helping us to learn more about it.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. I so appreciate it.
You're welcome anytime. Man.
All the best.
Thank you so much. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. We'll read your text. We'll talk about national issues. Don't forget to go check out ACE Diabetes. It could really help you out. We'll be right back.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind. breakfast just got better at Wendy's. Introducing the Breakfast Biggie Bag. Enjoy a double sausage muffin with two square sausage patties, a freshly cracked egg, and cheese served on a toasted English muffin, a medium waffle fries, and an orange juice for only $5.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Say what?
At Wendy's, better breakfast is all day. Offers valid in participating locations. Wendy's, different inside and out.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We're going to be going through your text messages, taking your calls. We've so far today, we didn't cover the DRA, which I want to cover. We'll get into some of that tomorrow, but we're going to be at Baja Retreat. We're going to be talking to Malaika and all the other lovely people over there at Baja Retreat. Trevor Davis is going to join us for a bit, and he's going to talk to us about the upcoming carnival that's going to be happening. I believe that's this month, and we'll talk about that. Now, we were also talking about diabetes, and Nurse Anita Cates gave us a very good brief education on what's going on, and that's important as well. And also, JJ called and made an interesting point about Lan for his grandchildren. He said Lan gets mad at him, and, you know, I don't know exactly what he and Lan discussed, but in terms of the Lan issue, I understand that while we may have a problem with foreigners coming and buying land in the Bahamas, although, personally, I'm not tripping, all right? Because if I can get more money from a foreigner for my land, and I'm allowed to sell it to them by law, that's what I'm going to do. But of all the measures you could take, if you could possibly run through the gamut of all that doesn't just look fascist, right? If you take all the land back from the foreigners, if you prohibit the sale of land to foreigners, if you put all the crown land on the market, if you put it at $10,000 an acre, if you give it away, there's only so much of it, and people are going to use it as people have always used land, which is to generate wealth in their family, right? Because I want the key word for you to understand, JJ, it's you said my grandchildren, right? And so that's what most of us are doing out here. We're operating in our own self-interest. And that's not a bad thing. But we shouldn't confuse wanting to satisfy our own self-interest with what's best for the country. All right? Sometimes those two things align. Sometimes not. This says, I like you, McCartney. I like Lang, but don't cape for Lang when it comes to the Immovable Properties Act. Oh, I didn't get into the Movable Properties Act. I didn't get into that, although we could. Let's continue. It says, it's not so much about the foreigners owning the land. Most people are vexed about the Immovable Property Act causing the rapidly high increase in the price of land. Right now at age 39, I can recall one of my elder relatives when I was six buying a vacant property for $4,000. Today, that same size property in that area sells for $120,000 to $140,000. And this is 33 years later. That is ridiculously too high. I do hear you. You know, that's kind of a subjective statement that is too high. And also, I'm not sure that that's what caused this increase in the price of land, because when you look at it, a lot of the land is being traded among Bahamians, and Bahamians want a particular price for it, even where foreigners aren't necessarily in the market for it. So I'm not sure that we can look at it empirically and say that's the case. All right. Oh, someone wants the number again to call? 702-9310. 702-9310. So I'm not talking about the Immovable Properties Act, even though we could talk about that. What I'm talking about is just the fact that there's supply and demand, and that New Providence has a very limited supply of land. All right? And as long as there are going to be people, you're going to need places for them to live. And I think while I love New Providence, and I'm not trying to move no time soon because I'm trying to go watch Doctor Strange 2 in IMAX, right? We do have to start thinking about the rest of the Bahamas. So that's what I'm thinking about. That or Cuba. I don't know why. I just liked the vibe when I was in Cuba, even though I don't speak Spanish, but I can learn. That ain't that hard. Yeah, so I'm not caping for Lang. I didn't get into the Immovable Properties Act, but just in my mind, when I think about it, it's just not a feasible prospect that your grandchildren are going to be able to afford land. Because here's what's real, right? Let's say land's cheap, right? And that's hunky-dory. Land's cheap. No problem. Let's say land's free, all right? Let's say you give it all away free, right, in one shot. And you either bar me from selling it or I got to sell it back to the government so I can give it to somebody else. Let's say you do all that. New Providence is still an expensive place to live. You're still going to have to pay $150 to $200 with the supply chain issues that are going on, a square foot to build a house on New Providence. You're still going to be paying some of the highest electricity rates in the region. You're still going to be paying a lot on goods because we don't grow anything. Not of any notable amount. We don't make anything. Right? So even if that didn't exist, just living on New Providence is an expensive prospect in and of itself. How many of you out there are listening to me who don't pay a mortgage and don't pay rent and still find it hard to make ends meet in New Providence? So there's just more to it than that, all right? If you want me to say, let's, go back to foreigners can't really own the land, although that never was the case, all right, in my understanding. Foreigners owned much of this land before, and the only difference was that a committee of cabinet, as I understand, had to approve it. All right? I want it to be simple, and I want it to be like, yeah, do X, and everything's going to fall into play. I know that it's not. None of this works this way. All right? This said, Juan Lang did explain that the Immovable Properties Act did not drive the price, it's just simple supply and demand. Yeah, but I'm just talking about simple supply and demand. Given the most fortuitous, generous of circumstances, your grandchildren will not be able to afford land on New Providence. Why you believe your grandchildren need to live on New Providence when there's so much other land, and why we're not talking about creating economies of scale somewhat in those areas is another discussion entirely. But you did say you like me, and so that means a lot to me. I just don't know that I agree with you that it's that cut and dry. That's all. This says, but Juan, whether or not a Bahamian sells the land, the point is the only way a foreigner was able to buy the land because the Immovable Properties Act was repealed. Land prices went up because foreigners could pay more. The link is clear. Our people in our land are our greatest assets. We stomping down one and giving away the other. Our future does not look bright with this strategy. Okay. So let me do this with you. The Immovable Properties Act right, was repealed under Ingram. Did foreigners own any land? Were foreigners able to buy land during the Pinling administration? Because if the only thing preventing foreigners, see, I got a deal in reality. Was the only thing preventing foreigners buying land in the Bahamas the Immovable Properties Act? Because what seems worse to me is to say that all foreigners buying land have to go through the government of the Bahamas, which is the cabinet of the Bahamas, and they approved it. Right? That's worse than saying some real estate broker, somebody owned a bunch of land, wanted to deal with foreigners. But to say that the government had to approve it, because foreigners own a lot of land in the Bahamas. And it went through the cabinet of the Bahamas with Bahamianization and all that in place. I can't absent facts from a discussion in reality. Again, I know everybody wants to say, movable properties acts don't happen, land would be affordable. I don't know that to be true. Right? Because if I spent $200 a square foot building my house and my parents gave me the land, you're going to pay me back a profit on that $200 a square foot. I don't care where you're from. Because we didn't build no house. Right? I built house. I won't get paid. Says that texter doesn't think that Grammy is happy. Her property appreciated 4,000% or whatever. What if you just finished paying your $400,000 mortgage and tomorrow the price of the lot next door is $10,000 again? Economically, that makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense, right? So people buy land in order to increase generational wealth. And the people who are boxed out of that, understandably, are aggravated that they won't be able to pass on that generational wealth, right? Because again, they're not growing more land. So my father bought several acres of land in Seabreeze for about $40,000 in 1973, way before the Immovable Properties Act. All right. By the 90s, and he also bought land in Adelaide, and he bought land in other places. By the 90s, before the Immovable Properties Act was repealed, that land was worth exponentially more than he paid for it without the Immovable Properties Act being taken away. And that's simply because of supply and demand. It's simply because when he moved into Seabreeze, the population was not that robust. The majority of black people lived over the hill still or nearby. It was a development that they had just started in the 70s, mind you. Right? Seabreeze was a lot of pine trees. I remember being a kid in the early 80s in Seabreeze. There was still a lot of pine trees. A lot of it, nobody was there. All right? So I just don't know that I buy that. I need to really see a more analytical discussion that the Immovable Properties Act is the reason that everything costs so much more. It might be part of it, but I can't accept that it's all of it. And real talk, if I have land, I want it to appreciate in value as well. So I think the stipulation under the act was that the foreigner had to develop the property, not just sit on it to speculate, driving the price up. I could be wrong, though. I'm not sure. This isn't about me having a discussion about the Immovable Properties Act, because when I talk about these things, I like to be really well-informed and have my material in front of me. I'm just saying I understand supply and demand. I do. You know? And land ain't like cars. You know? They're not making them every day. Says, Juan, if foreigners can squat and claim acres and acres of land and then build shantytowns on said land, why can't a group of Bahamians do so? Are we not the owners of the land anyway? The discrimination needs to stop. I mean, fair enough, I guess. I don't agree with people squatting on land and claiming it either. It says, good afternoon, Juan. Nygaard sure was growing more land. However, we do need to incentivize developing the other islands commercially post-haste. So I'll explain something to you. I was in the market for some property not too long ago, and I'll give you a test case. I'll give you an example. On one side of the street, where I was interested in buying property, it was going for $150,000. For a third of an acre. On the opposite side of the street, the property owner was selling the same vacant property, the same square footage, for $185,000 for a third of an acre. Both of these properties are owned by Bahamians. The guy next, the Bahamian next door to the $150,000 for a third of an acre, they were charging $170,000 for a little less than a third of an acre. All right? You are going to pay the price that the seller wants in the Bahamas because, having been in the market for land and homes, etc., for at least a decade, I have not seen anybody drive down the price of their property unless it was wildly over-exaggerated, even as financial circumstances got tougher, unless that particular person was in a financial bind and needed to offload the property. So I'm not talking out of school here, but my wife does real estate. When Fenton Niemore started to incur medical bills, he was like, I got some property. I want you to look at it for me. I want to sell it so that I can help with some of these medical. Like, in those circumstances, you could probably find a deal. Other than that, people will sit on their property until their until JJ's grandchildren's grandchildren are in the market for it, rather than give the property to you for less than they believe it's worth. And that's just capitalism. So we got to figure out what we want, right? If we want everybody to get allocated a piece of property, that means that market forces won't be able to control what happens. And you will have certain number of lots for certain number of people. We still won't have enough land on New Providence for everybody who's alive today, for their children and grandchildren, to also have land. That's just reality. Some may have a very, some may be opposed to that. Some may think differently about it, but, that's just where we are. This says, one, Bahamians will have to relax. According to the World Economic Forum and Charles Schwab, you will own nothing and like it. Schwab, Bill Gates, United Nations Agenda 2030 states there are too many people in the world today. Bill Gates said the population needs to be controlled by vaccines. All right. I can't read all of this. I hear you though. It says, one, for me, because of all the foreigners, Bahamians were able to receive higher-paying jobs, and with higher-paying jobs, supply and demand comes into play. Bahamians bought up all the land in the common areas and are reselling it to make money. If we didn't have the foreign element present, life in the Bahamas would be like life in any other Caribbean country. Go and live in one of these Caribbean countries, not as a tourist, but as a working local. You would run back to the Bahamas. Yeah, I want it to be simple, and I don't want to be like, and I want to be on the side of the people, and I want to express the popular sentiment. But I've been in the market for land and property, and for land and homes, like I said, for over a decade. And ain't nobody driving the price of land down. All right? So yeah, we could do the movable property. I'm down. Hey, look. I want the foreigners to be able to own land because I want to sell land to the foreigner too. I want that option too. Like y'all want, because what were y'all saying? What was this the other day, right? We posted a story about cryptocurrency, and Bahamians go, well, that ain't for us because we can't access foreign currency and open foreign accounts. So help me understand where we are in our thinking. We want, as Bahamians, to have access to the international market to buy foreign products, right? But we don't want foreigners to have that type of access here. Now, show me how that works in any other capitalist society. Except, what, China? You can't really own the land in China. Right? Show me how that works. Like, you want access, you want relaxed exchange control or elimination of exchange control so that you can buy cryptocurrency that's generated and owned by foreigners, but you don't want the foreigners to be able to have any access here. So what money, if the foreigners don't inject money into our economy, are you going to go buy the cryptocurrency with? The world doesn't work. The world doesn't revolve around the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We are part of the global economy, and we're not that large a part. We got to get what we can, how we can, and we got to be smart about it. Want to repeal the movable property? You want to put the Movable Properties Act back in place? Knock yourself out. Your grandchildren still will likely not be able to afford land on New Providence. We got to go. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll be at Baja Retreat. That's what they tell me. And we'll start promptly at 12:15. We start the remotes promptly at 12:15. You guys take care of there. Have a great day, Bahamas.